Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. A friend of mine in seminary, he'd like to tell a story, and it stuck with me for several reasons, one of which you'll hear in just a second, another one you'll get in a sermon. He said that his mother and father wanted him to become a doctor so they could be sick for nothing. He had a quick wit of humor, so he said, "So I became a pastor so they could be good for nothing." Good for nothing. Well, I've been a few pastors have been accused of that, and probably rightfully so, and maybe you and I have been accused of being good for nothing. But like our lessons, I want to flip that on its head and say that that's actually a good thing, to be good for nothing. So now I got to explain to you, all right? Look at all our lessons for today. Look at our first lesson for Joseph. You know the story of Joseph. You know, the multicolored jacket and all this stuff. Let's face it, Joseph had an ego that wouldn't quit. You know, he was always lording it over his brothers. You know, well, I don't, you know, condone them selling him into slavery. You got to feel a little bit of sympathy for the brothers, who were always hearing it from Joseph about how much better he was than they. And so he gets sent off, and the family, it's a long story. You can read it up. It's a good story, Genesis. But anyway, in this part we get today, his brothers have gone to Egypt because there's a famine in land, and they discover that Joseph is not dead, is not in slavery, but is now in a position of authority in Egypt. And they're thinking, uh-oh, he's going to get even with us. But instead, Joseph is kind to his brothers. It's a remarkable story. I advise you to go back and read it. It has a lot of relevance to life, a lot of things that you'll recognize in daily life as people and as communities and in the world, and the struggles we have with things like revenge and justice and issues like that. Famous author and theologian Frederick Buechner said there are two great miracles in the Joseph story. One is that God used Joseph in all his trials and tribulations, and I won't give the whole story away, to feed the people for 7 years. The second miracle is that Joseph learned humility. Buechner wrote, "I'm not sure which is the greatest miracle." And neither am I. Because Joseph goes to this position of thinking himself above his brothers and judging them to recognizing how much he loves and needs them and embracing them. And at the end of the story here, he is in tears with these very brothers who had once sold him off and probably with a good deal of justification for the way he behaved. The learning of Joseph is about not that we are in strata like this in life, but that we're like this. That it's not about keeping score and who's ahead and who's more blessed. It's about the relationships we have with each other. And that carries through all these lessons. Look at our second lesson. Paul's talking about people who are thinking about the resurrection are more concerned about what their bodies are going to look like. Paul's like, it don't work that way. You know, that's not the important thing. The body reminds us of what all we have been made in God is good, and God will carry that forth. We're not just going to be globs floating around in space. But the part of the resurrection that counts is that God's grace, not our goodness, puts us in that place. God has claimed us in the resurrection of his own self for all of us. That all of us will put on something new, a new form of being. And you got any reason to explain it? I don't know what that means, other than we can trust God to take care of us. That we don't have to worry about the way we look or the way we dress or all that stuff. And that really gets us to our gospel lesson, doesn't it? In this lesson, Jesus is turning the world upside down. All those old notions of keeping score, of earning stuff, of revenge that drive so much of our daily lives, if we're honest, as people, as communities, and our world, flips upside down. Now, Jesus knows this is not easy. You'll notice he tells it three different times in three different ways. Because the first time he tells it, it's going to go right over their heads. It probably goes over our heads, too. This call of Jesus to do this. Then he tells it a second way. Figuring that probably worked. He even tells it a third way. I'm not sure it gets through to us all the time. But what God's trying to say here, Jesus is trying to remind us, is that we are indeed good for nothing. What he means by that is not that our value is nothing, but that our value does not come for ourselves, what we can do for others. The world really does not run as God created on quid pro quid, or on I scratch your back and you scratch mine. But rather the fact that at the very beginning, God pours out all his grace and mercy and claims us, and therefore we are free. Freed up to not have to keep score about where we stand with each other, but to enjoy the fact that all of us are blessed, beautiful, wonderful creations of God. flipping the whole trade system, the whole system of doing things. And he tells it that way. He says, you know, if you love your friends, what is that? You know, it's like banks loaning money. Now, we all know that banks don't loan money to people that can't pay it back. Okay, 10 years ago, they kind of got into that. But generally, they make you have collateral. They don't loan money to people that really need it most of the time, because they don't want to loan it to people they know they'll get the money back from. Well, if you do good works, if you do things that are beneficial because of what you're going to get out of it, you're really not being kind and generous. The story tells us. We're able to be kind and generous because we've already been blessed by God's love and grace and mercy. As Paul puts it in another place, while we were yet enemies of God. That's pretty harsh, but it's true. While we were in rebellion to God, God loves us as much when we're little stinkers as when we sometimes get the message and sometimes hear. God's love doesn't vary. He loves us. He embraces us. He claims us in our worst as well as in our best. And he claims everyone else around us as being his creation, his children. Therefore, we're not in this game of life for competition with each other. Yeah, I know some things in life that works that way. But ultimately, we're in this life about relationships and caring for each other, not because of what we might get back from it, but because we are been blessed, we're free to do it. We're freed up from all that scorekeeping we've been doing all our lives if only we will be what we've already become, God's children. So that's the message. The message here is we don't earn it. No matter what we do, we're not going to make God love us anymore. We're not going to get any more of the kingdom. God starts off, he just plays this game backwards. Rather than make you play the cards to see who wins, he just passes out all the chips at the start. Because his love and grace and mercy is greater than anything else that exists. That's the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. God's love and mercy is greater, greater than our enmity with each other, greater than our scorekeeping, greater than our rating one against another. All the things that we do in life really don't matter in the ultimate sense. Don't matter. Because we are already winners. We're already the children of God. We're already blessed. We've already been given the kingdom. God took care of all that. So we don't have to do it. We don't even want to do it. All we need to be is to live like the people we've been made into. God's people. Created in his image. Blessed with the ability to love and care for each other. Blessed with the ability to forgive. You know, well, I can't forgive my enemies. Well, God's already forgiven you. It's a hard thing, granted, as humans to forgive. But no matter what you stack up against someone, compare it to what we've done to God. You know? There is no comparison. We rebel against God every day. We turn against the things we know are right. And yet every time we turn, there is God already chasing us down to show us his love and mercy and forgiveness. This is what turns the world upside down. This is why the gospel makes a difference. I mentioned Matthias before. Now, he's an interesting character. We don't know a lot, but let me tell you what tradition says about him. Yes, he was chosen by throwing dice. He was chosen to be the apostle. Gets called into the 12. You know, what happens? What do they do with him? They send him to the land of the cannibals. Thanks a lot, guys. You know, that's your assignment. Those are the people I'm being sent to as an apostle, which that's what the term apostle means, one who is sent. You know, tradition says, as you might expect, he didn't fare too well. But somehow the message he had an impact because the tradition existed. So somehow his love and mercy and grace to those very people who were opposed to him must have sunk in somewhere. He was good for nothing. Joseph was good for nothing. Jesus is saying that's fine. Be good for nothing. Be good because you are created good, been restored good, been blessed with the kingdom. Don't worry about the score. Don't worry about adding up the totals. None of that stuff ultimately matters. It's about being able to live freely, respond carefully, forgive and love and move on. Because you know when we don't forgive, when we don't love our enemies or care for them, or at least try, you know who gets hurt? Not anyone else. We hurt ourselves. And this gospel is a chance to free ourselves from that, to liberate ourselves, to be cut free. And I love this ending. Now, I don't know. I've never talked to Sir Paul McCartney. Wish I could. But I have a feeling. Doesn't this sound vaguely familiar? Remember the last words he wrote about what the Beatles meant? And in the end, the love you give is equal to the love you take. And thank God I didn't try to sing it for you today. But June's heard me sing it a million times. But doesn't that really sum up what life is about? Relationships. Life is about being what we are. Life is truly about being freed from all the pressure to try to make, do, hold grudges, all that stuff. This is the problem we have, is it's hard to let go of that. But God's gospel has promised that God is at work in us, making us good for nothing. So today, go out there and be good for nothing. And be proud that God has made you that way. Amen.